Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We start our Christmas sermon series this morning called The Journey, Walking the Road to Bethlehem. We'll focus on Mary of Nazareth this morning. Mary was from a very small town, a town that didn't show up on any maps and historians didn't include in their writings. The word Nazareth means sprout or branch. When you cut it down a tree, sometimes a sprout will spring up from the stump. Isaiah 11:1 says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit." This was a prophecy about the birth of Jesus. No matter what had happened to Israel over the centuries, God was going to bring a Messiah from the destruction. Jesus was that sprout, and Nazareth was that place. Mary was probably only 13 when the angel Gabriel told her about her role in the divine birth of Jesus. I love her words. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." I pray that is how we answer when God asks us to do hard and difficult things for him. I love this time of year when we take a deeper look at the Christmas story. Remember, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. I pray you had a very happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for listening.
Would you pray with me this morning? Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things to your beloved Son, whom you anointed as King of all creation, grant that all people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united under the glorious and gentle rule of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Children's Choir, God's Singers, sings their Thanksgiving special music entitled Give Thanks.
Thank you.
Judy Berger reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Church Words, Sacrifice.
The first scripture lesson comes from 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 18 to 25. And I feel like we need kind of a preface to this information, because God had gotten angry with the Israelite people, and he gave King David three choices. The first one was to have a famine through the whole country for 3 years. The other one was to have his enemies chase him for 3 months, or to have a plague for 3 days. King David chose the plague, and 70,000 people died. So here's where our lesson starts. On that day, Gad went to David and said to him, "Go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." So David went up to the Lord as he commanded through Gad. When Araunah looked and saw the king and his officials coming toward him, he went out and bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. Araunah said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" "To buy your threshing floor," David answered, "so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped." Araunah said to David, "Let my lord the king take whatever he wishes and offer it up. Here are my oxen for burnt offering, and here are my threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood. Your majesty, Araunah gives all this to the king." Araunah also said to him, "May the Lord God accept you." But the king replied to Araunah, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered his prayer in behalf of the land, and the plague of Israel was stopped. The second scripture is Hebrews 13, verses 11 to 16. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking forward for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleasing.
We're going to finish up our series on church words. We did redemption with Alan, and then last week we did covenant. And today we're looking at the word sacrifice. And I picked this word specifically for this Sunday, Totenfest Sunday. It's a day of remembrance. It's a day of lives that we remember. Of people's lives that have sacrificed. They sacrificed for their family. They sacrificed for their church. They sacrificed even for their country. When I look at this list of names, I look at Harley McDaniel. It's almost been a year since Harley passed away. You know, 89 years, almost 90 years old, and the sacrifices that he made for his family and for this community and the work that he did. I look at Nelson Bockert. He was a mayor here at one time. In our community, mayor for a year, and Nelson was all about work. I mean, up until the very last, that guy was out there trying to mow and do stuff that a lot of us would just be sitting in the recliner, but Nelson was all about work. You know, Richard Schrader, I met just earlier this year out at Valley Park West. His wife, Carol, is still out there. I see her about once a week when I stop by and say hi, and I know the work that he did and the sacrifices that he made as well. And then I look at the name Carol Wolfram, and I brought this bulletin with me. I don't know if Larry Roback, is Larry here anywhere? Right over there. This bulletin right here, and you know what this bulletin represents here. Carol wanted this bulletin every Sunday. She would get a large print edition. She would get a DVD of the service, even if she was in church. And she always wanted this one too. We made this copy just for her. I don't know what she did with it. But But she wanted everything that dealt with church. She wanted to have it. And I know her life was about sacrifice. She was constantly making things, crafty things, giving away stuff. She was always trying to give me books or tapes or anything. I've got in my office hanging on the wall one of her craft projects. It's a picture of Jesus in heaven. And I've got it hanging on my wall. But I know her life was about sacrifice as well. Then I come to Jerry Cole, a sacrifice for his country. Went to service twice. Air Force the first time and Army Reserve or National Guard? Which one? National Guard the second time. When he was in his 50s, is that right, when he went the second time? Went to Iraq. Didn't know when he signed up for the National Guard that Desert Storm was going to break up, but he went to serve. And while there, I think he picked up some of the lung issues that hampered him the rest of his life. And so he was very proud of his service, very proud of his service here at the church. Served on the consistory and in many things here at the church. Robert Barber. You know, one of the few guys that I can remember that I let get away with call me Reverend. It was always Reverend when he saw me. And I knew those last few months that when he was, you know, clear and knew where he was at, he would call me Reverend. And I knew, hey, we're on today. We're ready to go. Those piercing blue eyes, brotherhood was such a big thing for him and his sacrifice as well for us. Dorothy Levy Sanders, you know, the Levy family. You know, how important they have been to our community and to our church here as well. And then I didn't get to know him at all, but Walter Wingate. I know Glenn and Kathy Shoemaker are headed down there for the funeral coming up here real soon. And they kept me up to date with everything with Walter and everything. But that's the reason I picked the word sacrifice. You know, that we live lives that make a difference, lives that people remember. Lives that just all are not about ourselves, but they're about our community, they're about our country. And they're also about our church as well. And maybe it's a word that we've heard many times in our lives. It's a word that we just kind of go over, we gloss over. We say it without really thinking about what it means. That Jesus died as a sacrifice for our sins. And that the Old Testament was built on sacrifice. And we see from the very beginning that sacrifice was an important part of the Old Testament. And then probably the most famous sacrifice from the Old Testament is Abraham and Isaac. God had promised Abraham that, you know, you're going to be the father of many descendants, many nations. And then out of it, God commands him to take his one and only son, Isaac, up the mountain and sacrifice him. And all the way up there, Isaac is asking him questions about where's the sheep, where's the goat, where's the sacrifice? And goes all the way that Abraham, you know, wraps him up, puts him on the altar, is about ready to sacrifice his one and only son when God calls to him and says, stop. I've got a sacrifice right over here for you. And we see how important sacrifice was in the Old Testament. And so when we look at this sacrifice here, God wanted us to show our repentance by offering something special and something perfect. And when you translate that sacrifice from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it starts to make sense. Now, why did Jesus die on the cross? Jesus was a male without defect. He was the perfect sacrifice. He came to the tent of meeting. He came into the presence of God, and God put upon him, he took the sins of Jesus, or of the people, and put them upon Jesus on the cross, and the cross was the altar. God brought his most precious possession, the most precious person that he had in his midst, his one and only son, and gave him up for us so that we could know the cost that it had, the sacrifice that was made for us. So what kind of sacrifices does God want us to offer today? I didn't see anybody bring in a pigeon or a goat or a young bull to bring up here to take care of their sins. Those sacrifices have been taken care of through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. But he does want us to bring sacrifices. So if you turn to chapter 12 of Romans, I'm only going to read one verse today out of Romans. It's one that you probably heard many times. But Paul writes there, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of his great sacrifice, in view of him taking your sins and putting them on someone else, someone else's blood was shed for you, in view of that mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. The sacrifices of the Old Testament, they were made once they were dead. And then they were done with. They were cut up and given to the priest or given to others for themselves. They were not used again. It was one time only. But he wants us to be a living sacrifice. He reminds us that until we meet Jesus, until we receive his forgiveness, until we receive his Holy Spirit in our lives, that we are dead. Paul writes the Ephesians, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. They separated you from God. You're spiritually dead inside. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature deserving. We deserved to be sacrificed, not the animal, not Jesus. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgression, as by grace you have been saved." He says, you are now alive. You're expected to act like you are alive. I think it's interesting the metaphors that are used in the New Testament about what kind of lives we are to live. He talks about our lives are to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, a sanctuary that the Holy Spirit takes up in residence and gives us power. Jesus tells us that we are to be salt and light, that people are to see us and feel the impact of our lives. I love this one. I've always identified with it because I've always enjoyed sports. But he tells us that we are to be runners in a race, that we are to train ourselves like runners in a race. But I think too many times that Christians, many of us, me included, we are reluctant to be living sacrifices. We'd rather be part-time when it fits into our schedule, when it feels comfortable to us. I don't know how many times you've seen a house that is looked very good from the outside, but it sets empty for any period of time, maybe a few months, maybe 6 months, maybe even a year. No matter what condition it was, no matter how well it was built, it will start to deteriorate. It will start to fall apart. And that's what Paul is writing us here. He says, if we're not living and active, we don't have the Holy Spirit in our lives, our building may look good from the outside for a while, but it'll start to deteriorate. And we will not make an impact with our lives. I think too many of you are like the headlights on my Escape outside. For the last year or so, they've been fogged over. They've been glossed over. And they don't show out much light. I just not put a lot of thought into it. I'm not a real big car guy. But I just decided, I need to figure out how to make these lights shine a little bit brighter. Someone had told me to get Dawn liquid soap. The blue kind, the really traditional, original, get that. And so, man, I put it on there and I wiped them off. They looked good for a while and then they fogged right back up again. And so I had a $5 gift card or coupon to O'Reilly's. And I said, they got to have something out there. So I went to O'Reilly's and found, something perfect for my headlights. Two different types of, liquid in the little bottles, about two or three different buffers there. And man, I followed instructions, did my thing. You go check my headlights now. Man, you can see them. You can actually see inside that there are lights in there. But I think we live our lives too many times like that as Christian. They gloss over, they fog over. We get used to being barely able to see in front of us. We don't do the things necessary to let our light shine even brighter. That we are to live a life that makes an impact in our everyday activities. That people are to see the fruit of the Spirit obviously in our life. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, joyfulness, and love and forgiveness. He tells us there that everything that we are to take ourselves to the altar, put ourselves on the altar willingly to let God do with as he pleases. And this world is his altar for us, that people can see the light of Christ and feel the impact of our lives. But then he also tells us what kind of sacrifice we are to have there. He says that we are to be a holy sacrifice. Now, holiness gets a bad rap. As soon as you say that word, people say, oh, you think you're holier than thou, don't you? You think you're better than the rest of us. Holiness gets a bad rap, but I want you to take a second look at it because God is big about holiness. We see there in 1 Peter chapter 1, and he gets this from Leviticus. He says, obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. He said, don't go back to your old lifestyle. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. The writer of Hebrews said it this way in chapter 12. Without holiness, it is impossible to see God. I think I want to step back and pause and say, okay, what does holiness mean? It's a word that means to be set apart for a specific use. It means to be spiritually pure without spot or without stain. We see in Matthew chapter 5, the very first sermon that Jesus preaches, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. There's something to this holiness. There's something about being set apart for special use. Paul refers to the people of the church of Ephesus and the church at Colossae. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, to the set apart people for a specific purpose. We have a box, probably like a box in your house down in storage, that I get out once a year, for one day a year. It is for a specific purpose. I got these Christmas dishes for Betty several years ago at an antique place. I got a great deal. I think they were $45, all right? The whole gamut, the big plate, the little plates, the whole thing. We have it when the family comes over to the house. We get them out once a year for a specific purpose. They are set apart for Christmas Day only. That's what Jesus is saying to us. That's what the writer Paul is saying to us, that we are set apart for specific use, to reflect his glory, for people to see his love in us, that people can see the greatness that is God. And if you don't think holiness is important, look what is around the throne in heaven right now. Revelation chapter 4:8 says, all those four living creatures, the ones that surround the thrones, day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Hear that again. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Can you say that with me? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holiness is what sets us apart. Holiness is what set God's apart. And the only way that we can step into his presence is through the Holy Spirit living in our lives. And he expects us to live that way, to be the ones that set apart and reflect his glory. But then he finally says the type of sacrifice we are to be is not only living and holy, but acceptable, pleasing to him. Now, what is an acceptable and pleasing sacrifice to God? We read it in Hebrews chapter 13. He says, do not forget to do good and share with others. He also says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that we are to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, and that we are to offer sacrifices of praise to him. So when we walk into this arena, we walk into this sanctuary, we walk into this place, we are together worshiping him, giving him sacrifices of praise, but we can do it each and every day. Giving him thanks for the goodness that he gives us, the breath that he gives us, the lives that he's given us to lead. No matter the circumstances, we can still look up and say, thank you, God, for the life you've given me and the influence you've had in my life. Thank you for the sacrifice, the Holy Spirit that lives in my life. But then also then he tells us to look outward. Don't forget to do good and share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. You might say, well, then, where are these places? Where can I do good? Where can I share with others? Let me give you a couple hints. If you're looking for a place to go to make an instant impact, go over to California Care. Go over to Valley Park West. Go over to the Nutrition Center any day through the week. Go to California Care, Valley Park West at lunchtime or dinner time. Walk around, introduce yourself, tell you where you're from. And I guarantee you, for most of you, when you introduce your name within 15 minutes, you'll realize that you're related to someone around the table. Because I know most of you are second cousins to each other around here in one way or the other. Or you'll have a genealogy discussion about who lived next to who and who went to school with who. But you tell them where you're from. You tell them that I'm from the UCC here in California. We just want to let you know that God loves you. I tell you, we did the worship service this past Thursday out at California Care, and we're going to go sing Christmas carols here in December at both of those places. Those are places that need people to just come and sit and be reminded that they are regular people that are loved by God, that has people that are serving them. Maybe you need to find a group at church to get involved in, or start a ministry at the church that meets a need that we're not meeting right now. Maybe it's focusing on your family. Make sure that worship is a priority and that spiritualness is a priority at home and in their lives. But use your abilities to bring others to the Lord. Because Paul says this is your true and proper worship. Hey, I love to worship together. I love to get together on Sunday mornings and we shake hands and we sing together. But true and proper worship is not reading a liturgy or a prayer together or even singing together. True and spiritual worship is when each one of us leaves these doors and goes out into the world in our families and we say, God, use me as you would like to have me be used. That's true and proper worship. That's when you experience the power of God in your life. But if you're like me, too many times, I don't like the word sacrifice. I don't like to have to feel pain or to give up something that I'm precious to me. I think it'd been so easy for me to say, well, this bull's almost as good as the other. I'm going to take this one instead. I've told you about this author. I'm into my fifth book now. I give credit to Dwight and Clarice Nelson for getting me turned on to this guy, Adam Hamilton. It's a book about Simon Peter. And this is what he says about sacrifice. The challenge is that we prefer self-fulfillment to self-denial. We would prefer to avoid sacrifice and instead play it safe without suffering or personal cost. And we're happy to follow Jesus, provided it means blessings and bliss, hope and love, forgiveness and mercy. We want our religion to bless us, but we would prefer it not ask anything too hard of us in return. This is true for me. I don't like self-denial. I prefer to have a convenient faith that doesn't demand too much sacrifice on my part. Often our faith does provide blessings and joy, goodness and mercy. I feel like I've had more joy and blessings than I ever imagined, and certainly more than I deserve. And nearly all of it is somehow connected to my faith in Christ and the people he has brought into my life, and I can say that's true for me. But if my faith is authentically Christian, it will lead me to give and live sacrificially, to yield my ego, to seek to live a life of servanthood, to serve others, and at times to make decisions I don't want to make in answer to his call. The point is not pain and sacrifice for the sake of pain and sacrifice. During the conversation with Peter and the other disciples, Jesus went on to say, all who want to save their lives will lose them, but all who will lose their lives because of me will find them. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? Jesus, when he was in the garden, said, not my will, but your will be done. When we come up to the sacrifice, to be a living sacrifice, and come up to his altar, it's about putting our will down and asking God to do his will. When David came to Araunah, he says, I don't want something that's not going to cost me anything. I want to feel the pain of what it's going to cost me. I posted on Facebook this past week about my New Testament professor, Gareth Reese, 92 years old. Known him for 40 years. In my office, you can come in, and I've got all of his commentaries that he's written on the New Testament. He finished his last commentary, fittingly, on the book of Revelation 3 weeks before he died. It's not in print yet. It'll be in print next year. He preached his last sermon 3 weeks before he died at Ethel Christian Church up near Macon, up near Kirksville, Missouri. His wife, Kathy, is in a nursing home with dementia in Macon. But up until the very last, he rolled every last ounce of his life out. As Paul said, my life is like a drink offering. I'm giving you every ounce. I said this at the care center on Thursday. I don't like the new toothpaste containers, the rolls. I hate the lids on them. Waste too much. Every time you pour it out, there's little bits that's left around there. And there's at least two good things of toothpaste left on that roll, but they're stale now. That's a waste to me. All right? And then I roll that baby up. Betty don't. She squeezes in the middle. If it's done, it's done. She throws it. I'm getting every last ounce of that baby. I scroll all the way up the top. I press that thing down. I'm getting every last ounce of that toothpaste out of that toothpaste roll because I paid for it. They're not going to cheat me out on these neat little caps to make sure I don't get everything that they put in there. That's the kind of life that God wants us to live. Roll every last bit of it up. Squeeze every last ounce of it out. Step into his presence and say, I've given it all. It's time for us to review our lives, clean ourselves up, brush ourselves up, put ourselves in the arena of God's kingdom, and be used to his service. And the song that we picked this morning, it's a wondrous love. What wondrous love is this?